This morning I want to talk about preparing. The word of the day is preparation. So Sesame Street has the letter of the day, church has the word of the day, preparation. So my first question is, how do you prepare for something? How do you get ready for something? For instance, how do you prepare for work? You get up in the morning, maybe the night before you start preparing, right? Because you need to set your alarm to make sure you'll get up in time, right? And then the next morning, you start thinking through, how am I going to get to work? Will I walk, ride the bus, take a car? Do I have to call someone else for a ride, right? You need to decide what clothes you're going to wear. Depends on what kind of work you do, what clothes you wear, and maybe what you're doing that day on what clothes you might wear. You're going to think about, what am I going to do for lunch, right? Do I have money in my wallet, or am I going to pack a lunch? How am I going to get that there? You might think about a meeting that you're having that day and start thinking through, what questions do I need to ask? What information do I need to give? How do I want this to go? Determine then how you will get home. Now, I just said a bunch of things probably some of you don't even realize, that every day you make that preparation. But you do it so naturally that it's just a part of your day. But you prepare. Or maybe how do you prepare a meal? The same sorts of ideas. You decide what you want to make, right? And then you maybe determine how long it will take to make it. I have that problem a lot, right? I have this idea of what I want to make, but then everyone in the house is hungry. So I decide, well, it needs to be something that I can make in 30 minutes or less, right? Make a list in your head or on paper. See if you have all the ingredients. There's nothing worse than getting halfway through a recipe and realizing you don't have what you need, right? Maybe you have to go to the store first and get what you need. And then still as a part of preparation, you have to get out the pots and the pans and the utensils and all the ingredients that you need. So preparation. As we begin this sermon series on Mark, I want to start by thinking about preparing. Because often preparation is what sets us up to get where we want to go. And preparation is the major theme in the first 13 verses of Mark. What are we preparing for? Should be our first question. If we're preparing in Mark, what are we preparing for? Well, something that I like about the author of Mark is that he gets right to the point. It's actually the shortest book of the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And most people think it's because Mark doesn't mess around. He's a guy of action. And so he tells you exactly what's happening. He gets right to the point. Here's the deal. Here's where we're going. Here's how we want to get there. So right away in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says it's about the good news of Jesus Christ. So he tells you right away, where am I going? What am I preparing for? The good news about Jesus. This is about Jesus. So over the next few months, actually, all the way up to Easter, with a break for Advent and Christmas, I'm inviting you on a journey with me. The journey of walking with Jesus. Now, I, as have many of you, have been walking with Jesus for many, many years. Some of you may have done a few miles and then taken a few off. Some of you are new to this journey, and it's kind of at the beginning. And maybe some of you have never even walked with this journey at all with Jesus. But here's my invitation for all of you, no matter where you are. Let's walk this part of the journey together. Let's together turn to the Bible, where one writer wrote down all he knew about who Jesus was and what Jesus did while he was on earth. And let's together try to figure out, what is this good news about Jesus? What is it like for us today? My mom has said that every time she reads the Bible, she learns something new. something different jumps out at her. And you know, in my few years, not as many as hers, have been reading the Bible, I find the same is true. About 2 years ago now, I felt compelled to start reading the Gospels again and to read them from beginning to end. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you read these verses here and there. And this time I wanted to just read. So I started in Matthew and read all Matthew. And then I just still didn't get enough, so I decided to go to Mark. And it was fascinating to me how fresh and new it felt. It was like Jesus came alive to me in different ways, and I was excited again to walk with him. My invitation for you is to join me in walking with Jesus through this book of Mark. And you might also find that you want to walk with him every single day, because the journey is pretty fun. Now let's talk about preparation in Mark chapter 1. There's actually a lot of different people who are preparing in these first 13 verses. And let's start with one that you may not have thought of. And first, it is God's preparation. Right from the beginning of the book of Mark, we see the preparation that God had already done for Jesus to come. In verse 2, it says, Mark quotes the Old Testament and of Isaiah and Malachi. He actually mixes up a couple things from Isaiah and Malachi, and he connects the beginning, this is the good news about Jesus, with the past. Because God had already started this story long before Jesus ever came to this earth. John the Baptist is seen as a prophet, like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And a prophet is a person who is chosen by God to send a message to people. And now was the time for this good news. God chose John the Baptist to be this prophet, and he was definitely set apart. You heard how he lived out in the wilderness, right? And dressed in animal skin with a leather belt around his waist, and he lived off of the land, eating locusts and honey. I could get into the honey, the locusts, maybe not so much, right? This was a different kind of spiritual messenger than the people of that time would have been familiar with. The religious leaders in that time sat in the temple with fancy robes and listed off laws and rules that everyone should follow in order to stay pure enough to be in the temple and maybe someday make it to heaven. And they often boasted about their own purity. Look how good I am. Then God sends John the Baptist. Now, interestingly, John the Baptist's father was a priest. Do you remember this? A priest who had, he and his wife had never had children till they were very old in age. And finally, God sent them a son, gave them a message that they were going to give him a son. Now, if your father is a priest back then and you have a son, what is the son going to be? A priest. And then Zechariah gets John the Baptist. He's not so priestly. He lives out in the wilderness, not in the temple, and he wears this crazy clothes, right? God is clearly doing a new thing in this moment. John the Baptist, with no fancy robes, no fancy titles, no position, no power, and he didn't talk about himself. He kept talking about someone who was coming. He wanted people to see Jesus and not John. At one point, he even says to the people, "He must increase and I must decrease." John knew that his job was to prepare the way for Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. So God prepared. He had been preparing all along. And then he prepared by sending John the Baptist ahead to prepare the people. So let's talk about the people's preparation. They went out into the wilderness to hear John's message, didn't they? It said all of the people kept coming out to hear his message. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. When we want to hear about Jesus, generally we come to church, right? And in those days, when people wanted to hear about God, they would go to the temple. This time, in order to hear from John the Baptist, they had to go out in the wilderness. Now, that might be hard enough for us, right? To take a trip out of the city. But think about back then. They didn't have cars. If they wanted to go out in the wilderness, they walked. They left their town, and they walked out of their comfort to see this John the Baptist. And there were no radios, no internet, no cell phones. And so the word about John the Baptist had to spread from person to person, right? And after they heard, John didn't make it easy for them. He's out in the wilderness. Hey, you guys got to come to me, right? They were walking out of town, perhaps after a long day of laboring or a long week of laboring. And there weren't any chairs out there or tables or coffee shops or restaurants. They were going out into God's creation, like we talked about last week. But it wasn't one of the more beautiful parts of God's creation. It was the wilderness. It's desert. Israel is a whole lot of desert. Most of Israel is. And they were going out to sit on the ground or stand around and listen to a kind of crazy-looking guy tell them what to do. And he asked them to do some kind of hard or at least embarrassing things. He told them to confess their sins and be baptized to show that they were publicly saying they wanted to turn away from their own ways to turn toward God. It's fascinating to me that in all of the Gospels, that is John's one message. Confess, repent, be baptized. Prepare for someone else. The Bible doesn't say he taught any other message. He was a one-sermon kind of guy, which is actually a lot easier, can I just mention? Right? One sermon, time after time. And yet, even though he kept saying that same thing, people kept making the trips out to see him and hear him. So something special must have been happening to the people who had heard his message and practiced what he said, because more people kept coming to him. When we name where we are and let go of old ways of life, of old burdens and wrongs, of old patterns that lead us down dark paths, we open up spaces in us to receive new words and new life. The people's receiving of John's message prepared them for Jesus. It also prepared them to receive the Holy Spirit, as it says in verse 8, and we'll talk about more of that as we go in Mark. So now we have that God prepared and the people prepared. And then we get to this passage where Jesus is directly introduced, right? And we see that even Jesus prepared for his ministry. One of the primary themes of the book of Mark is that it explains and shows us who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he's like no one else. And yet, even Jesus, in human form here, had to prepare. Jesus came to John the Baptist and was baptized. He too came and publicly declared that he was ready to do what the Father had for him to do. As an aside here, one of the most convincing reasons for me for baptism is that when I decide to follow Jesus, I want to do whatever Jesus does. I want to follow him. And Jesus was baptized. That seems like a good reason to be baptized as well. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. When Jesus was coming up out of the water from his baptism, something very special happened, right? God named him. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness or joy. And there is this moment there when we see the Trinity, God the Father speaking, the Spirit coming in the form of a dove, and the Son in human form. The ultimate picture of shalom. Perfect relationship. Perfect peace. Perfect happiness when all is as it should be. And then in the very next sentence, it doesn't sound so much like shalom. Scripture says, at once the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. The verb here is hard for me to wrap my head around. The Spirit forced Jesus. Other translations say impelled, drove, pushed. Something about Jesus' preparation required him to go out further into the wilderness, and there he was tempted by Satan. Jesus' preparation included temptation, solitude, and wilderness. Have you ever wondered whether God does not love you or has left you because you're facing temptation or loneliness or a dark and hard time? This small sentence in Jesus' life tells you that it's not true. Right after God tells Jesus that he is loved and sends the Spirit to be with him, he goes into the hard, dark place. But he doesn't go alone. He's loved. Don't be surprised, friends, by hard things. They can be times of preparation. You're not alone. You're loved. In fact, one of the themes of the entire book of Mark is that Jesus was a suffering servant. Some say that Mark wrote the book to encourage followers of Jesus who were suffering for their faith. He wanted them to know that their leader, Jesus, also suffered. They were not alone. Jesus prepared, the Spirit prepared Jesus. All of this preparation happening. And then I want to turn your eyes to a second to a fourth preparation. And this is God's preparation of the author of this book. Now, sometimes we don't think of that because we're looking right directly at the script, at the words. Who was this person, Mark, who wrote this book? Now, we don't know any of it all for sure, but lots of scholars and traditions and histories say different things about Mark. He was not one of Jesus' disciples. He was likely a relative of Barnabas, who we read about in Acts, who was a follower of Jesus. And most scholars believe that he actually traveled with Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples, and wrote down all of Peter's thoughts and memories of his time with Jesus. It was like he was Peter's ghostwriter, right? Some say that he may even have been a translator for Peter, that as Peter was going out and speaking to different groups of people, that Mark was able to translate into different languages for Peter. They think that Mark's mother likely hosted gatherings for Jesus followers in her home. And the book of Mark, because of the way it's written, we think was definitely written for non-Jews. Because he wrote in Greek, and in a less academic form of Greek, kind of a common language, and he used a lot of Aramaic words. He also used many Roman references that, again, connects him with more of a Gentile audience for them to understand the things he was saying. And one American scholar and researcher, at the end of his life, began to research what the Coptic Church in Egypt, what their traditions and the Eastern Church histories of Asia and Africa have passed down about Mark. And one idea that they discovered from all of those places is that Mark was perhaps born in Africa, particularly Cyrene, which is in present-day Libya, and that possibly due to political problems, his family moved to Israel from Africa. In other words, Mark may have been a refugee. Some accounts even say that he could potentially have been ethnically part African and part Jewish. His family seemed to have many social and perhaps business ties to Africa. And more widely believed is that after coming to follow Jesus, that Mark actually moved to Alexandria in modern-day Egypt, part of Africa, and became one of the founders of the church there. How like God to change the life of a person who had ties beyond just one city and even beyond just one country so that God's message could be spread throughout the world. And how like God to lead me many months ago to start reading Mark and later find out that perhaps there's some African ties to Mark. What a beautiful thing for our church at this time. But all of this information about the author of the book of Mark is uncertain because the author shared the same purpose as John the Baptist, to focus all the attention on Jesus. He was prepared to follow and to shine the light on Jesus. The gospel isn't about the person writing the words. The gospel isn't about the person speaking the words. The gospel is about Jesus. So the theme of the morning is preparation. We've talked about how God prepared for the coming of Jesus, how the people prepared. We talked about how Jesus prepared and how the Spirit prepared Jesus. Now we turn to ourselves, our preparation. How do you and I prepare for Jesus? When was the last time you named to God who you are and where you are? Have you confessed the places where you have turned away from God and chosen darkness over the light of truth? Have you taken that message of John the Baptist and repented and turned around to follow Jesus? Have you done it publicly? Have you said to at least one other person, I'm choosing God. I want to follow Jesus. You know, you can do that today and every day. There aren't magic words for this. You only have to speak the truth of who you are and who you want to be. Something like this: God, I've been walking my own way. Today, I turn to you. Thank you that you take me where I am. Thank you that you forgive me. Show me a new way. Help me to follow Jesus. Another question is, how do you prepare for this Jesus on a regular basis, not just one time? Do you have a time set aside each day for God? Do you spend time in prayer and reading the Bible so that you can hear from God? I actually asked you last week to pray this week about whether you would commit to reading Mark with us as a church family. That's a very clear way to say, yes, I want to prepare for Jesus to speak to me. Will you commit to walking with Jesus by regularly preparing to hear from me? Another way of preparing is to think about how God has been preparing you for the work he has for you to do. Many of us have been walking with Jesus a long time, but maybe some of us are wondering right now, what's God's purpose for me right here, right now, where I am? I invite you this week to sit with Jesus in prayer and ask him to show you that. Look back over your life and ask Jesus to show you the ways that he's been preparing you for something he has special for you to do. One of the great truths of the Bible is that God can take any circumstance and create something good out of it. You can pray something like this: God, here I am. Here are all the places I have been, things that have happened, choices I have made. But now my hands are open. Can you show me how you have been preparing me? Show me my strengths, my weaknesses, my experience, my wisdom, and where they might fit into the work you have for me. That's a way for us to prepare. Really, the question is, where is the Holy Spirit leading you next? And are you willing to go there? Because a journey always begins with one step, right? So as we close today, there are purple cards on the inside of each of your rows. And there's probably not enough for everyone in your row. Potentially, if there's not, there are cards in rows behind you. I don't have assigned seats, so I don't know how many of you will be in each row. Maybe I should, although I'm pretty happy to see some people moving forward this week. Thank you. I appreciate it. So if everyone can grab a card. And I'm going to ask you to do something public. Public meaning for me. If you could fill out your card, write your name, and if you'd like, your email. And I want you to just take a moment as we're closing here to think about what your next step is. Will you commit to read the book of Mark with us? Mark that down. And I'd love it if I had your email because I might be sending out some things just for us to be interacting as we're reading that book together. Maybe you're ready to confess and turn to Jesus. That's a place where you are right now. Maybe you're interested in talking about being baptized. I'd love to talk to you more about that. You're not committing yourself. You're just saying, hey, I'm interested and I'd like to talk to the pastor about it. Maybe you say, I'm willing to sit with God this week and ask how he's been preparing me. Or maybe you're at the very beginning. This step can be for beginning all the way through experience. I'm asking the Spirit to show me what my next step is. Maybe you're just not sure, but you need to sit with Jesus this week and say, what do you want me to do next? Or maybe you know exactly. Sometimes there's something that has been in our heart, in our mind for a long time, and we know that it's God asking us to do that, but we've been dragging our feet. We've been making excuses. I remember something God asked me to do, and I'll confess to you, for 11 months, I said, no, I don't think so. Until the 11th month when God so clearly said, if you don't do this, Joanna, you are directly disobeying me. And I went, okay, I'm ready. And beautiful, beautiful things happened in that moment when I said, okay, Lord, I'll try your way. It's worth it. I'd love it if you'd fill those out and either hand them to me after you leave today. You can leave them also in your rows and I'll just pick them up. But I'd love for you to take some time as I'll take a quiet time for a minute and then we'll pray as we close. God, I thank you that you are a God who prepares, that you prepare ways for us, that you prepared in your love for us to send Jesus, to show us a new way, to provide a path for forgiveness and grace. Lord, I thank you that you've been preparing each of us for this moment today. And I ask simply that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for inviting us on a journey with you. May we find the joy, the strength, the courage, and see all the ways that you're at work around us as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? And receive your benediction and blessing. May God the Father show you your name this week. May he show you that he loves you. May Jesus walk beside you as your brother. And may the Spirit clearly show you the next step he has for you. Amen.